setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Here we go. I'm coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you've joined a conversation about you, about who you are, what you were created to do, where you can do that, and then how to get there. We're talking about your purpose, and your why, is how some people say that, is connected to your work. We don't believe that work is just this thing we do to live. I believe without question that we were actually created to work, that work is a way that we contribute. Now, it's not our entire identity, and how much you make has nothing to do with the quality of who you are and your self-worth. Not at all. Let's talk about worth in just a moment. But I'm telling you, you were created to contribute. And when you look at it that way, I think everybody around the planet goes, yeah, I want to make a difference. I want to help people. So life's too short just to work a J-O-B that has no meaning for you. It just is. You know there's more. And so do I. And I'm going to help you figure out what that is. We have seven stages that will get you up the mountain to your professional pinnacle, your dream job, where you're giving yourself away in your work. It's really about a legacy and just impacting people. And the income takes care of itself. Income and impact is at the top of the mountain. Stage one is get clear. Stage two, get qualified. Stage three, get connected. Stage four, get started. Stage five, get promoted. Stage six, get the dream job. Stage seven, give yourself away. We'll unpack those stages for you. And it's not as difficult to figure out what stage you're in and then figure out what to do to get the next stage as you think. The journey can be difficult, but it is always worth it. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. That's the number to jump in. I want to teach to lead off the show today to encourage. I know that there are a lot of people that will listen to this. People will listen to this radio show and its podcast from around the globe. I want to talk specifically to people who feel like their worth is very low. I don't have much worth, Ken. I'm just down. I get it. Could be for mistakes that you've made, bad decisions, things that have been done to you, said about you, whatever the situation, you feel like you don't have much worth at all. And as a result, you feel like your why, your purpose has also disappeared. And I'm telling you, that's not true. Your purpose has not disappeared. You do matter a whole lot. Your worth is very much there. I want to encourage you, based on real life experience of restoration of furniture that I grew up watching my mom and dad do. We were lower middle class and couldn't afford furniture, new furniture. And I used to get really irritated with my mom and dad dragging me to these flea markets and antique stores and garage sales and blah, 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 blah. But as I got older, I began to pay attention to what they were doing and then eventually appreciate what they did. And they would restore furniture. And I think those of you who feel like your worth is very low, or you feel damaged, you're just like these old pieces of furniture. Now, what had happened? Well, they'd been given up on by the owner. Discarded, devalued. That's how they end up at the flea market. The garage sale, heavily discounted. I'm not talking premium antique stores. We'll get to that in a moment. I'm talking about walking up on a piece of furniture and it's heavily discounted, and you know, whether you're an expert or not, that is way less than that owner originally paid for it. Maybe it's got physical damage. Who knows? But I've seen my mom and dad buy piece of furniture after piece of furniture and then completely restore it. So I want to walk through what I saw. Four steps that they did to restore furniture that you need to restore yourself. And I'll walk through this with you. You're one phone call away. I'll help you walk through this. Step one is they would strip the furniture down. They'd strip it, get all the junk off of it. Come on. The junk of pain, the junk of failure, the junk of abuse, the junk of toxicity in the workplace, whatever it is. If you feel damaged and your worth is low, we got to strip all that junk off of you. And so they would use an agent to some type of chemical concoction that would strip all the old paint off or the old varnish or whatever. And after they stripped it, then they would clean it. So first they had to strip it and get all that junk off. Then they'd come through and they would clean it. Give it a good scrub, sand it. They were preparing for repairing. Getting prepared to get repaired. Got to strip all the junk off and clean yourself off. That's the process of healing and health. Getting healing, getting healthy. Third step is they would begin to repair it. Fill holes with wood filler, replace parts like hinges or knobs or hardware or whatever. Take a whole leg off, repair the leg, put a new leg on, whatever it was. They would actually do the repair. And again, that is, again, more of the same process of getting healthy. I'm repairing relationships. I'm adding new parts to me. I'm getting qualified. I'm getting new experience. Repairing. And then the last step is the stain. After all that's been done, they're going to put a fresh coat on it. Shiny, rich looking, new looking, vintage looking. Watch what's happening. Stripped it, cleaned it, repaired it, stained it. And so a piece of furniture that was once given up on is now returned to its original glory. That's waiting for you. Restoration is available. And on the other side of that, somebody may have discarded you or devalued you, but you can be restored to your original intent. And what's great about this, I said I'd mention antique, because a true antique, if you look it up, it is a piece of furniture that has either stood the test of time or it has been restored because it was made so well, and now the value in it is unbelievable. Incredibly valued because of its age, and it stood the test of time. And let's substitute age for your experience. What's happened to you has made you stronger, has made you even more valuable. On the other side of restoration, folks, is even greater value. So what we bought as a devalued piece of furniture has been restored, and now it's worth even more than it was originally. That's the restoration process. If those of you who are willing to own that and grab that and get healthy, call me. Let's get clear together on what your purpose is and how you attain it. It's time to come out of the cave, folks. And the Ken Coleman Show will always, always welcome you. Those of you who have fallen to the point that you can call and change your name, the location you're coming from. Listen, you can cry on this show with me. It's happened many, many times and it will continue to happen. I'm here because I believe that every man and woman, despite what they've done or what has been done to them, still has purpose. As long as they draw breath, there is a purpose that your Creator gave you and you must fulfill it. And I will tell you what I know about restorations in people. The very pain that put them in the cave of shame once they come out and get restored powers them to help others who are experiencing or keeping others from experiencing that same pain. Great purpose comes from great pain. Believe that. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Every day on the Ken Coleman Show, I talk to people who want to switch to a technology career, but they're worried it's going to cost way too much and take too long. Well, now my friends at Bethel Tech take care of all of that. You can get the most in-demand tech skills online and affordably. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to learn how you can save $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition and get a great technology job. betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Again, that's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Helping you make the income you need and get the impact you want. Your income and your impact should not be separate. We're talking about working on purpose here on the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. It's a caller-driven show. It is your show. Hey, if you haven't heard, we are doing the second installment of our Get Hired event, a popular live streaming event we did last June. We are now doing it April the 27th. It will be live. We'll have a couple hundred people that will be able to come into the building here at Ramsey Solutions, World Headquarters, April the 27th. 8 Eastern, 7 Central. If you are in driving distance to Nashville and you want to come on, go to RamseySolutions.com and click on events, or you can also go to KenColeman.com in the store, and you can get the tickets. There are ticket tiers. There are multiple different prices. The bargain basement just to show up in front of your computer anywhere you are is $20. So a great graduation gift maybe for a graduate who needs that edge. And so we're going to help anybody who's looking to just change jobs, whether it's get a job, change jobs. The idea is, what is the edge? What's the competitive edge to get the job you want? We're going to focus on the first three stages of my seven stages to work you love, which is get clear, get qualified, get connected. So again, tickets start at just $20. KenColeman.com in the store, or RamseySolutions.com events page, April the 27th. Coming to you anywhere you got a computer and a internet access. So excited for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Love to see those of you who want to come to Nashville too. Going to be a special treat there. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Cheryl, who joins us now in Columbia, Missouri. Cheryl, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
My question is, do you have any advice for parents who are trying to help their son with his career? A little bit of background is he's 24 years old, college graduate, working in his major, and he's had some opportunities come up recently that would be a good experience in his field, but he just doesn't seem interested in taking advantage of these opportunities. And he has kind of grown in his faith this last year with the pandemic and everything, which is a good thing. But he seems his interest has shifted. He wants to minister and serve God, but I'm not sure he knows what he wants to do with that yet fully either.
Okay. Is he living at home?
No, he's 10 hours from home.
Okay. What's your big fear, Mom? Because you called me, and I think your concern may be fearful.
It is. I mean, because you just want to see your kids do well and
sure.
succeed in life and also be able to provide for themselves,
yeah.
which he's doing now. He's been doing that for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my big fear.
What? You didn't tell me what the fear is.
That he won't be able to like provide for himself, maybe doing with what he wants to do.
What evidence? Okay, what do you mean? So if he goes into ministry, he's
like
not going to be
ministry and missionary work and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I want to see him do something he's passionate about and enjoy what he's doing. So there's that side of it. But yes.
Finish the sentence.
But I want him to be able to provide for himself and if he ever has a family in the future and that kind of stuff.
Let me ask you a question. Do you know anybody personally that is in ministry or as a missionary?
Just like our pastor at our church and stuff. That's it.
Okay, so you know your pastor. So you guys go to a church.
Mm-hmm, yes, and he does too now.
Is your pastor starving? Are his kids starving? Are they homeless?
No.
Okay, then. Mom, I get your heart. Your heart is in a completely great place. You want your kid to win. But you can't say what you said. You really are truly conflicted here. On one hand, you're going, I want him to do what he's passionate about, but I also want him to be able to take care of his family. Well, he can take care of his family. He can do that in ministry. Millions of ministers and missionaries have been able to take care of their family. You talk to any of those men or women, and they would tell you that God has provided. Now, mm-hmm. are they wealthy? Well, some pastors are, and I'm not really fond of that. But my point is that they're not starving. And so you've got a fear that is the equivalent of maybe your son when he was little calling you up to his room one night and telling you that he had a monster under the bed. Your fear is just as silly as that, because there are plenty of pastors and missionaries who provide for their families. So if this is what he is expressing an interest in and he believes God's calling him into this, as his mom, you need to be nothing but supportive and go, hey, walk this thing out. But he's also been working in his major for 2 years, taking care of himself. This is not a deadbeat who's living in your basement playing video games. So while I appreciate your heart, I'm glad you called, because he's a 24-year-old man now. And so I know that's hard to hear, but he is. So you're a cheerleader at this point. You are a voice of reason, a voice of encouragement. Outside of that, you're stepping over the boundaries. That's what I think.
Right. And we have tried to reason with him and stuff. I feel like he's still trying to figure things out too.
Let him figure it out. He's gainfully employed. At 24, I want him to figure it out. I'll tell you what I want him to do. I'd like him to call the show. Have him listen to my show. Mm-hmm. But don't push it. Don't push it on him. But if he's expressing to you and your husband, I'm not totally sure, instead of trying to push him to figure it out and have cause him to doubt. Because I'm going to tell you something, Mom. And I know your name's Cheryl, but I'm talking to you as a mom. Okay. You have a lot of influence over him. And I have 34-year-olds call me. And they go, I wanted to go into ministry. They fill in a blank, whatever they tell me. But this could be your son one day if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go into ministry. I felt the call, but my mom and dad didn't think it was a really wise financial move. So I never pursued it. Now I'm miserable.
Mm-hmm.
He's feeling that pressure from you, true or false?
Probably. I think he thinks we're judgmental about things and stuff. And
you are crushing your son's spirit, whether you realize it or not. And I'm not being unkind to you, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you the truth. You need to apologize for that, and you need to take it back. You're crushing his spirit, and you may be interfering with what the call of God is on his life. I'm just telling you, that's how serious this is. So if you want to do anything for him, you can say, hey, I'm sorry that we have made you feel like this, and we just, that's our fears. And those fears are misguided. And I listened to this guy called Ken Coleman. He told me that. And if he wants confirmation, then he can start listening to my podcast very passively. The podcast is available anywhere. He can watch the YouTube show anywhere. Or he can listen to me on talk radio. But it's easier on those other two because he can listen to them anywhere, anytime. And he can call me and I'll help him. I'll help him verify this call to ministry. But you and your husband need to get over your fear, and you need to call your son up and say, we're sorry. We are now going to go from questioning your calling to supporting and cheering. Parents, this is real. And I love Cheryl for calling and admitting this. I mean, and letting me do this, because I'm just going to tell you, we've had caller after caller after caller after caller who will call and say, Ken, I'm not doing what I love. And when I dig in, I find out why. Because a well-meaning, loving, awesome parent projected their own fears and the fears they have for their kids onto their kid, and they unwittingly crushed their kid's spirit, their dream. By the way, this happens all the time. Cheryl's not an outlier. Parents are doing this right now in houses all around this country. Well, Mom, Dad, I want to go into trade. I want to be a plumber. I want to be a builder. I want to do this. No, you got to go to college, Junior. Because I'm scared. If you go to college and get a good degree, you're never going to be able to take care of your family. Ah! It's garbage, parents. The very thing you're trying to do as a good parent to protect your kid, you're going to end up pushing your kid away because they're going to wake up at 35 and they're going to call me because you squashed their dream because you were scared. Kid's 24. He's a man. Come on, parents. Wake up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. Thrilled to have you with us as we talk about your purpose in your life and in your work, doing work you love, so that you make the contribution you long to make. And you get to the end of your life and you're reminiscing, not regretting. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Eugene, Oregon now, where Cody is on the line. Cody, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
How you doing today, Ken?
Cody, I'm living the dream. What's going on with you?
Good. Just trying to figure out what to do in my limited spare time for some income. I'm a recent stay-at-home dad. Sold my business to do that. And just trying to work through what's the most scalable thing to do that, as my kid's age, I could have a more stable income we could rely on as well.
So you guys did not benefit financially from the sale of your business?
Oh, we did. I'm just trying to add additional income.
And your wife is working full time?
Yep.
How much additional income do you want to make?
Starting out, it could be pretty limited, but 8 to 10 years, I'd like it to be a flourishing business where I have employees and.
Okay, so you do want to get back. You want to get back into being an entrepreneur, working for yourself.
Yeah.
The goal is when the kids are high school, driving themselves. Is that what we're talking about?
Yep, that's what we're looking for.
Okay. Well, when somebody calls me like that, that's a pretty open-ended question. I always turn it back to you because I don't think that you're sitting there right now before you decide to call me and go, I have zero ideas. Not one idea in my head. Is that true or false?
No, I have a few. I'm just really struggling with which ones are best.
Great. Well, that I can work with. Now that I can help with. So give me the two or three, or however many you want to give me. Give me the options. What's number one?
All right. Engine rebuilding.
Okay.
That's something I could do at home in the garage. Custom car building. Something also I could do in my car, in my garage. And flipping cars, buying broken or cars that need some rehabilitation.
Uh-huh.
And then, also remodeling service write-up areas, so customer entry areas for automotive repair shops.
Okay, so remodeling customer entry areas.
Yeah, so they call it a service write-up area.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. That one's a little harder, though, because I have limited time.
Yeah, tell me about that. What does limited time mean? How many hours a week as a stay-at-home dad would you be able to give towards any work? Outside of the
probably
kids.
Like 20 hours a week right now.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. That's such a very specific thing too. The fourth one, it's remodeling areas. It's like, it falls in line with all of the other three. What's funny is I think you could throw a hula hoop around all three of these options. You're like, kid, which one do I do? And I'm kind of going, all of them. Let me explain. So you want to do engine rebuilding. I'm assuming these are cars, not locomotive trains, right? Not lawnmowers, cars. Yeah. You're a car guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yep. That was the first thing you threw out. So that's truly mechanical there. Then you got custom car building. Well, now that's a whole nother deal. That's fabrication. That's ground up. That's the whole enchilada. And then the third option was flipping cars. Well, flipping cars is just a way of describing, I'm going to go buy cars that needs some love. I'm going to the junkyard and I'm going to buy something and for $2,000 and I'm going to put 14 in it and then I'm going to sell it for 28. Those are my favorite shows, by the way, on Netflix. There's this Canadian dude with dreadlocks. I forget the name of it. I think it's called Russ Bros or something like that. Russ Valley. But I mean, it's awesome. Guys, I love these shows. So if I look at all three of those, I go, that's basically the same business. It just means that 20 hours a week, you're going to start dabbling in this because you sold your company, your wife's working, you guys are in great financial situations, so it's not like I got to work. You want to, and you got 8 to 10 years to build this business so that when the last kid starts driving, you're ready to go full in. So I think this is beautiful. I think I'm opening up my own car business. I don't care what you call it, but you might rebuild an engine for somebody. And you're going to do it for a song. You're going to make money on it, but you're going to do it for way less than some local mechanic would do it. Maybe you start getting involved with you know, like maybe charities or churches that want to take cars and then get them all fixed up, you know, for single moms or whatever. I know we got several churches in our area that do that. You could start dabbling that way and get the word out about you. I don't care how you do it, but you can start rebuilding engines. If it were me, I'd take some of that money right now and I'd start flipping cars. I'd combine all three of those. I think custom car building is a way more intense deal. Am I right or wrong on that?
Yeah, it would take a little bit more capital to get that rolling.
And I think that by flipping cars, you're gonna kill two birds with one stone, as my grandmother used to say. And I think what you do is you start flipping cars, and the money you make from flipping cars, you just keep pouring it in because you don't need the income right now. And then you eventually get to a place where you could do your first custom car, but you're going to fund it by flipping cars. How does that sound to you?
Yeah, that sounds scalable too.
Yeah.
I can slowly work into it.
Yeah. And I mean, because my point is you're going to do mechanical and body work on flip.
Yeah.
And 20 hours a week, stay-at-home dad. Yeah, you can do that. So.
Yeah.
Bro,
I could work into.
Yeah, these were your ideas. All I did was combine them. I don't think remodeling service area entries. I think that's so boring. There's no juice in that for you. am I right?
I enjoyed the design aspect of it.
But yeah, but again,
I would have to sub out all the building.
Yeah, but my point is you really like working on cars, engines, and body work and all that. I think you start that business today.
All right. That sounds good.
How much capital you have to use? I want to play this out a little bit. I'm having fun here because I love I don't do work on restoring cars, but I like seeing them restored, and I eventually want to start funding people. I wish you lived in Nashville because I'd be going, hey, buddy, boy, we're going to do this together. I'll put a little bit of capital in this. Let's start flipping cars. How much capital could you put into one car right now?
I have to get the accountant on board.
We're not saying you're doing this. I'm saying, what do you think is a reasonable number you've got to put towards a flip right now?
Oh, right now, I could probably buy like a lower end flip and, you know, buy a $5,000 car or something, put a couple grand in it.
Okay, so there's my point. If you've got 10 grand to work with, okay, so we buy it for five, we put five in it, and you sell it for 12, 14, whatever. I mean, I think you start just wading into this, you know?
Okay.
And you start playing around with it. And then you get good at this. You're going to figure this business out. And you got 8 to 10 years to perfect it. Not perfect it. That's not possible. But you get my point. So I think you go where your heart is, man. And I think you'll do very well in this business. And again, it's a 20-hour a week business right now. That's all it is. And then eventually you can scale that. Once the revenues get there and you start socking money away, you can hire some help and still do 20 hours.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, I'm telling you what, I'm pretty darn good at this, aren't I?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't very hard. I'm joking.
No.
You just gave me the answers. You just needed permission to do it. And I'm telling you, that's the way to go right there. And you can do that as you go. You can scale that, as you said. That's really awesome, man. That's exciting stuff. And I'll tell you something, Joe. That's a fun business to be in.
Yes, it is.
Because, you know, as classic cars have always been hot, but they're hotter now, you know, than ever.
Don't you have one that needs a little work?
Yeah. I still got to finish my 72 convertible Karmann Ghia. Got to get the interior done, a little bit of exterior, but she's a beaut. But I can't do the work. That's the problem, Joe. I got to pay somebody else. This guy can do the work. It's fantastic. Love it, love it, love it. And by the way, that's on our theme of restoration. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues to give you the clarity you need so that you can get the confidence to step out on the path to fulfilling your purpose. And oh, by the way, when you're clear and you're confident, you'll have the courage to stay with it when life throws the curveballs and pitfalls at you, because it will. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Bobby in Waco, Texas. Bobby, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken Coleman. It's nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, man. What's happening?
Man, I just feel kind of stuck where I'm at. I work in a masonry industry, and I've been told that I was going to get higher pay. You know, it was a few months ago. I'm recently married. I have four kids, and I'm hurting, man. I'm working two extra jobs on the side just trying to get by.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like what I do. I like, I'm not actually doing the masonry part. I do mechanical things. I help fix machines and all sorts of stuff like that.
Okay.
But I've done a lot of different jobs, and I don't know what to do. And I, you know, I like where I'm at because it's secure. I get a paycheck coming in, but then I don't because I feel like it's not big enough for what I do.
Yeah. Well, it's clearly not. It's not even that. It sounds like to me you actually need more money. If you're working two extra jobs to make ends meet, it's not even that secure. Correct? Did I hear you correctly? You're not making enough. That's why you're having to work the two extra jobs.
Yeah, because I'm following Dave Ramsey's baby steps. You know, I'm in step two.
Oh, good. So you're kind of gazelle intense too.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've knocked out, you know, everything but my truck, and then now my family blessed me and bought me a house.
Oh, that's great.
But I've got to pay the bill. You know, they put a big down payment down. So I'm just, you know.
Okay, so how much short are if you didn't have the extra jobs to pay off debt, does the job right now that you're working, the main job, does that pay everything?
Yeah, it'll pay the bills, but, you know, it's beans and rice.
No, I get you. How much are you making? You know, how much are you making in that job alone?
In this job alone, about $600 a week.
Okay, $600 a week, so $2,400 a month, basically. That's a gross.
Yeah. And that's bring home. That's bring home. I'm bringing home $600 a week.
Oh, okay. Good, 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 good. So $2,400 a month. Okay, I got you. All right. So you're right around $30,000.
Yes, sir.
And you work on machines? You're like a gearhead engine guy?
Yeah, well, I do that, and then I just do whatever my boss needs me to do. I'll pull orders. I basically do anything they need me to do on the spot.
What do you want to do?
I mean, I like working on machines, and so I like mechanical things, but I feel like I'm a great communicator. I feel like I'd be better served talking to people, doing something where I'm communicating
more. I agree. What does it take to get qualified to work as a full-time mechanic?
Experience or certifications. I have the experience. I don't have any certifications.
How much do the certifications cost?
Well, just to take the test, it's about $450.
You can do that, man. You're working extra jobs. You can still walk the baby steps out and cash flow that. I got to tell you, I don't know. Let me look this up. I'm kind of interested. Do you have any idea median income for car mechanics? You have any idea? In your area?
Probably around 45, 50 would be my guess.
Okay.
But that would probably be for the head mechanic, you know, not the grunt guys that just came in.
Yeah, I'm looking this up. In Tennessee, the average auto mechanic salary is $35,000. I don't think that's the head guy. So that's getting you about where you are. Wait a second. I'm seeing something else here because this is important. Let me look this up. In 2019, auto mechanics made a median salary of $42,000. The best paid 25% made $56,000. And the lowest paid 25%, $31,000. So don't accept that as, well, man, that's dead end too. I think what you got to do is you got to figure out what's a ladder look like for a guy like you who likes to work on machines. Because I think there's probably some specialty mechanics that make some really good money. And I'm go ahead.
I've thought about that. I used to, for about 2 years, I worked in a box factory.
Mm-hmm.
I do rotary die cut machines and things like that. I worked there and I excelled there.
What kind of money did you make there?
I was a machine operator, and this was in Fort Worth area. I'm in Waco now.
Yeah.
Big difference. I was making about $1,200 a week bring home.
Yeah. You know what I think?
Weeks.
Let me tell you something, Bobby. You're fine. You're doing great. Keep walking the baby steps out. Let me tell you what this is. This is you getting serious about research. and finding what upward mobility, what's the ladder look like for people who work on machines. Start getting qualified for that. Big income is there. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job, so you can give yourself away. Work with purpose. You want to move from working for a paycheck to working for purpose? I promise you, once you do that, that paycheck will be plenty. I guarantee it. Thank goodness for the mute button there, folks. I'll be honest with you, had a little kind bar in between the break. I just had a little peanut fragment, Joe, just lodged right there, and I almost coughed all over the mic. And boy, I tell you what, in these times, have you noticed how guilty you feel if you cough in public? Hey, you're not even sick. You just maybe get a little peanut fragment, as I just did. You know? Now, in radio world, I can just hit that little button, cough, nobody would have even known, but I felt like I needed to do a little riff because I was somewhere the other day and I sneezed because in Middle Tennessee, it's like pollen dust everywhere. My hair is fluorescent when I walk outside, so much pollen. And I was somewhere the other day and I sneezed in public. And the shame that I felt, I was like, wait a second, what's going on here? It's a sneeze.
The stairs.
Does he have the COVID? Like, oh, come on. You know what I mean? I mean, I covered the sneeze, Joe. I didn't just let it rip. But I'm telling you, every time I say that, people laugh. I got people outside in the lobby watching like, oh, yeah, I feel like a bad person if I cough. You know, back in the old days, people cough in church, they'd cough in a meeting, they'd just coughing. Now it's just like, don't cough, whatever you do, don't cough. Freak yourself out trying to not cough.
I can't hit my sleeve either. I can't cough into it.
Why?
I'm just not designed that way.
Oh, the arm, you're telling me your arm doesn't get up to the angle to where you can sneeze into it?
Nope, uh-uh.
Joe, I think I need to send you to my chiropractor. I think you need maybe yoga.
Something.
Something's not right. There's nothing wrong with your arms. All right. Fantastic. Great news, by the way. I've known you over a decade and never knew that you weren't able to sneeze into your arm. Madison, I think we need to come up with a stretching routine for Joe that could give him tremendous benefits. All right. Back to the phones we go. 844-747-2577. Green Bay, Wisconsin is where Melanie joins us. Melanie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me today.
You bet. What's going on?
So I just recently returned from maternity leave, and before I left, I trained my replacement knowing that I was most likely going to be moved to a different position when I got back. Mm-hmm. However, when I returned, I was unable to really negotiate the salary. They just kind of pushed me into it. And before, I was working 60 hours in a pay period, and now I'm working 80 hours in a pay period, making what I was before I went on maternity leave.
Yikes.
Yeah, I guess I'm wondering, how do I talk to my boss about, you know, kind of upping my salary now that I'm back?
Well, do you want to work 80 hours in a pay period?
I was a rotation and now it's Monday through Friday. So it's kind of like, it's like the 2 week pay period. So not like 80 hours a week. Like,
oh, okay. Cause I was
so 40 and 40. So it's okay. A full time job now.
Okay. All right. That changes the discussion. Cause I was like, wait
a
second.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Well, have you talked to your leader about this at all?
Well, that's another interesting tidbit. So I don't technically have a boss above me so much anymore. So it's just somebody that's kind of parallel to me. And I kind of asked her who I speak to, and it would be the president would be who would be in charge of my pay.
And so I'm assuming the president and this other person, they talked about this when you returned. And so you're working full-time job now, mm-hmm. but at the former part-time pay, if I understood that correctly. correct?
Yeah, well, technically wasn't part-time as a rotation schedule, but I was in the office 60 hours versus the 80 hours.
All right, my point is you're working 20 more hours and you're getting paid the same.
Yes.
Are you in a different position, though?
Yes.
Okay, and is that different position more responsibility, the same? I mean, where does that fit in the whole hierarchy?
It's significantly more. I know that if I walked in off the street and got this job, I know I would be making more than what I am now.
Okay, and when you came back from maternity leave, how long ago was that?
About a month.
And when you came back, there was no discussion about this, about salary or income at all?
Nope.
Okay, well, that's partly on you, too. Okay, that's partly on you. That's partly on you.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so this is just a good old-fashioned conversation. I mean, there's no, like, secret tips that I've got for you, but I would tell you need to be humble about it because here's what's happened. You didn't have this conversation when you came back. That was your best opportunity. They're going, hey, we're putting you in a new position, which you should have said, okay, great. Tell me about the new position. And when it became clear that it was more responsibility, you should have said, that's awesome. I want more responsibility. That's great. Can we talk about the compensation? But you didn't do that. So should they have brought it up? Yes. Should you have brought it up? Yes. But now we're in a situation where nobody's talking about it. So now we got assumptions. Guarantee you they've made an assumption that you're okay with it. So now we got to come in and we got to go, all right, I got to be humble because I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to come in and say, rah, 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 which I'm not saying you would, but we got to guard ourselves here. We got to be very careful to go, hey, listen, when I came back and you told me about the new thing, I just assumed that there would be a compensation increase. That was bad. I shouldn't have assumed that. I should have asked. But I'm a month in, I'm working more hours, and I'm excited about the work. Is that true or false?
That is true.
So you're excited about the work. You appreciate the promotion and responsibility. That's true as well. Say, hey, I'd like to know what I can do to increase my compensation because I am working more, but I'm still being paid the same. And I should have brought it up, but I made a poor assumption, and I don't want to seem ungrateful because I am. Can we talk about compensation tied to this new job? That's all you can do. And they're either going to address it directly and go, yeah, we should have brought it up too. Here's why we didn't. Because right now we can't afford, you know, they got to have a reason.
Yeah.
I just can't believe they don't have a reason. So if they address this thing clearly and effectively, not just, hey, yeah, we need to talk about that. Let's talk about that in 3 more months. No.
Yeah.
If that's the answer, I don't want you to quit the job. I never recommend somebody walking out unless financially you don't need the paycheck.
Yeah.
But it's going to hurt your feelings if that's what the response is. I'm just telling you it's going to hurt. There's no way around that. But you're going to be a big girl, aren't you?
Yes, definitely.
Because you can't just walk away from a check, can you?
Not.
All right. So then you're gonna put on your parent hat if you're a parent. If you're not a parent, you put on the hat, the memory hat. How'd your mom and dad teach you to deal with hardship and rejection and being overlooked? And you're gonna do that. You're gonna be an adult and you're gonna say, all right, this is the sign I needed.
Yeah.
And you're gonna be a big girl and you're gonna start looking for work and you're gonna go a place where you're valued and good culture where they develop people and promote people. That's what you're looking for.
Plan.
Come on. And then the minute you get that job, you walk in there and go, it's been nice knowing you. I'm out. And leave the right way. Leave well, despite how you feel. Now, I'm hoping they're going to fix this and do this right. But I'm skeptical. But I'm skeptical, and I'll tell you why. Good leadership does not do what they did. Good leadership goes, welcome back. You're a valued part of the team. How was maternity leave? What's it like being a mama? Blah, 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 right? And then they go, hey, we're excited. We're putting you in a new position. And with this new position comes increased responsibility. And you've done a great job for us, which is why we're entrusting you with this. And here's your new compensation package. That's good leadership. So I'm skeptical. So I'm trying to prepare you.
Yeah.
And so, and listen, because you have nothing to lose, either they're going to make it right or you're going to start looking somewhere else. Go in there and be really clear, be really humble in how you do it, but lay it out there. By the way, most people don't like confrontation most. And this conversation is considered a confrontation for people. Even though it doesn't have to be ugly, it feels that way, so we don't like to do it. Folks, you got to speak clearly. All right, before I let you go, remember this. You matter, and you do have what it takes. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.